His Son, who yielded His life on atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Tanging ang dugo ni Kristo ang lunas, salang sa atin ay napahamak. Ang bawat mananalig ng taimtim, patawad ng Diyos tunay nakakamtin. Papurihan ang Diyos at sundin siyang tunay. Papurihan ang Diyos, tayo'y magkatwaan. Lapit sa Ama sa ngalan ni Kristo, yamang sa salay, tinubos niya tayo. Bawat kaloob niya'y dakilang tunay, lalo na ang dulot na kaligtasan. Ligayang ganap ang matagamasa kung si Kristo ay atin ang makita. Papurihan ang Diyos at sundin siyang tunay. Papurihan ang Diyos, tayo'y magkatwaan. Lapit sa Ama sa ngalan ni Kristo, yamang sa salay, tinubos niya tayo.
To God be the glory from all peoples and all languages. Amen. Thank the Lord.
Deuteronomy chapter 30 is where we are as we're going through the book of Deuteronomy in our morning messages. This morning I've titled the message, God's Driving. How is your driving? What about other people's around you? You ever seen those company vehicles that have stickers on the back that say, how's my driving? Call such and such. I wish some other cars had that on there where I could call someone. You know, you ever someone and they don't use a turn signal or they don't use the turning lane. You know, maybe they pull out in front of you and then just poke along there and slow you down. In the highway, they use the left lane and go 50 and you can't pass on either side. You ever feel like you're getting road rage because of the way people drive? Well, here in verse 1, it talks about God's driving, and that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. It says, it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I've set before thee, thou shalt call them to mind upon all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. And so as we look at our message this morning, we're going to look at how God drives us, how God drove Moses here. We're getting close to the end of Moses' life, and you think about the way God drove him, first of all, into the Nile River. There, among the dangers of the river, there God drove him up to Pharaoh's house, and God drove him across the Red Sea, God drove him all through the wildernesses. He was on this tremendous ride with the Lord. And sometimes there were some bumps along the way. But God was doing the driving. And that's one of the reasons that Moses was such a man of God. Whenever we start doing the driving ourselves, we create some problems, don't we? We hit all the potholes, you know. We go off the road there. And as we look at God's driving, before we pray, the outline this morning, we're first going to look at the circumcision to love, and then the commandment of the Lord, and then the choice of life, And then the change of leadership from Moses to Joshua, and then the congregation and the law. So let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts through your word this morning. We thank you for the way that you led Moses and the Israelites, and you are the same God today. Lord, you want to be in control of our lives and drive us where you want us to go, and help us to listen to your Holy Spirit as he speaks to our heart this morning through your word. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we look, first of all, at the circumcision to love, and we will see that in verse 6, that phrase. It says, "And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord." Now, we know that circumcision was an outward sign, and the Jews were circumcised, and they were people of the Lord. But God says he's going to circumcise his people in the heart. The word circumcise, of course, means to cut, and circum in there has to do with the round. And so God was going to cut the heart and get them to love him, not just from the outward things, but from the heart. And he begins in verse 1 when he says to remember the Lord. He says, call them to mind. And that word call, I'm going to point it out to you now because we're going to see it again a few times. It's a word that means to return. And so God says, I want you to return some things to your mind. And so as the Israelites are now getting ready to go over Jordan, there's some things that have happened to them along the road where God has driven them. And he says, I want you to look back and reflect and recount all the things that have happened along the way. And we sang the song this morning, Count Your Blessings. That's what he's asking them to do, to recall those things to mind and remember all the things God has done for you. But also, in that remembrance is also the curses, because in verse 1 it says, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind. So God says, I want you to remember those times that you ran off the road. I want you to remember those times you went in the ditch. Remember those times that you ran those red lights or whatever it was. And those times where things went wrong were the curses, because we reached over and tried to take the wheel from God rather than letting him do the driving. And God says, remember all these things. And Thanksgiving is a wonderful time for us to do that as a nation, isn't it? And like I mentioned earlier, next Sunday afternoon when we have our meal together and we have a chance to do this, to call to mind what God has done for us and be able to share that with one another. Well, then in verse 2, he says, and thou shalt return unto the Lord. Return. That's the same word as the word call, the Hebrew word. So God says, I want you to return in your mind all the things that I've done for you. And then he says, I want you to return to the Lord and obey his voice with your heart and soul. And we know that the word repentance is a word that means to change, but it has to do with returning back to what God had for us when we repent. And God says, I want you to repent there. I want you to obey with all your heart. And so we kind of get an understanding what this word repent means when he says return and obey with all your heart. That's what repentance is, coming back to God to obey him in every aspect, that I'm not going to detour on this road, whether it's a paved road or a dirt road or whatever it is. I'm not going off the trail of what God has for me. I'm going to repent. I'm going to give him back the steering wheel and say, God, I've been leading myself the wrong direction, and I give it back to you. Well, not only does he tell us to repent, he also talks about the restoration in verse 3. He says that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee and will return. And so here we see the word twice, and it's the Hebrew word sub, as we would say it in English. It's the same word in verse 1 to return in your mind. It's the same word in verse 2 to return to the Lord and go back to him. And now he says, to return to that original condition, there before you went astray. And restoration, when we think about driving, we think about old cars. Have you seen pictures or even actual cars where some cars from the old 40s or 50s or something like that, they had been worn out, maybe rusted, and somebody decided to restore that car. And they bring it back to looking like it did out of the factory. The restoration, and it's beautiful once again, isn't it? Well, that's what God does with our lives. Whenever we start going our own way, we ended up with the rust and all the problems. And God says, when you return to me with all your heart, He says, I will restore you there. And aren't you glad that God does that? When we mess up and go the wrong way, that God says, you can get back on the right road. God says, I'll restore you. Come down to verse 8. It says, and thou shalt return, there's that word again, and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all His commandments which I command thee this day. And so we obey. And so from the moment that Adam disobeyed God, he started going the wrong way, didn't he? He decided to take a hold of the wheel of his life, and he went the wrong way. God kind of drove him, didn't he? He drove him out of the garden there for his disobedience there. And so I'm thankful that God can take an old life. Maybe you have gone in the right direction and you've drifted away from the Lord. God's in the business of restoration. He restores people. It doesn't matter how far you've fallen from your fellowship with God. There's always restoration. He invites us to come. Then we come to verse 9, and we see a very interesting aspect of God. It says, and the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your land, for good, for the Lord will again rejoice over thee. Have you ever tried to picture in your mind God rejoicing? This word rejoice is a Hebrew word that means to celebrate. And we have different ways of celebrating. Sometimes it depends on our personality. If your team wins, you might jump up and shout. And if it's late at night, wake up some other members of the family who are not as interested in that game as you are there. And some people may just smile and say, yeah. But, you know, some people get really excited and celebrate. Well, that's the word that we see here. But notice also that word right before rejoice. It's the word again. It says the Lord will again rejoice. That means, obviously, that there was a time when He wasn't rejoicing over them. And that word again is the Hebrew word sub. It's the same word. It means the Lord will return to rejoicing about your life when you give Him back over the wheel. But God is not rejoicing in our lives when we go our own way and do our own thing and think we know the road and the path better than He does. But whenever we surrender to Him, God rejoices when we let Him drive our decisions, when we let Him drive our lives, where we're going to go, what we're going to do, and all these decisions we make, when we let God do it, He celebrates. He is rejoicing when we turn the wheel of our lives over to Him. Well, let's move on to the next thing. God gives the commandment of the Lord comes in verses 11 through 14. God says, I've given you this commandment. And He says, this commandment is not hidden from you in verse 11. He says, it's not far off. Verse 12, He says, it's not in the heaven where you can't reach it. And then verse 13, He says, it's not on the other side of the sea or the ocean where you can't get to it. God says, my word for you to obey and give the steering wheel to God is not that hard. It's very attainable. God would not give us a command that we weren't able to keep. What kind of God would He be to tell us to do something that's impossible for us to do? But with the command that He gives us, He gives us the Holy Spirit. That's why we say, I can do all things that He commands us through Christ, the Holy Spirit of Christ who lives within us there. And so the commandment of the Lord is attainable, but also even more than that, verse 14 says, the word is very nigh to thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. God says, I place my word in your heart. It's there. Not just so we can commit it to memory. Verse 14 says, it's there that you may do it. God says, I've given you the roadmap, and you want to go the right direction. You want to have maybe GPS is a better terminology than roadmap nowadays. God says, I've given you a GPS. This is the way to go. This is the way to be safe in your travels. We often say that in our wording there to people, safe travels. You know, we're on the road. Well, whenever we let God drive, we're going to have safe travels, aren't we? There, we commit it to Him. So God tells them, now, as you're traveling along, I'll give you a choice. There, in verse 15, He says, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. So I know those are not alliterated, but we'll just have to live with that for this one particular verse here. Life and good, death and evil. God gives us those choices. And with life comes that which is good. With evil comes death. And God says, on this road of life, there in this verse, it says, verse 16, the next verse, it says that you love the Lord, you keep His commandments, that you may live and multiply, and God will bless thee. You want to live and multiply and enjoy the journey? Well, things are more blessed when we let God do the driving there. He will never drive us down the wrong road there. Well, death and evil in verse 17, it says, but if thine heart turn away, if you turn away, God's driving and He's got you down the right path. But if you decide you want to turn and go a different way than what God is going, that's not going to be a good choice there. And so a detour on the road of life can be very dangerous. And if we decide to turn away from what God has for us, and so it's so important that we be in tune with the Word of God through His Spirit. If we're not sure what God has for us, He's not trying to hide it from us. He wants us to know. And so when we get into the Scriptures and we pray and seek God's direction and will, He will drive us exactly where He wants us to go. And whenever we take the wheel, verse 18 says, you will surely perish. He says, I denounce you this day that ye shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days there. You're going to have an accident along the way. It may kill you, God says, when you try to go your own way. And so God gives us these things so that we can have good travels and that we can have life, not death and evil. And then don't you love the verse here that says, choose life. Therefore, choose life. Do you know God is pro-life? God says, choose life. He wants us to choose life. And there's the choice, either life or death here. And when those that are evil, well, they'll choose death. Those that want to do what's good, they're going to choose life. God says, choose life. And whenever we do that, verse 20 says, you'll love the Lord, you'll obey His voice, you'll cleave to Him, for He is thy life. Love that phrase in verse 20. He is thy life. Not that He just gives us life, but He is our life. And the New Testament teaches us the same thing, that Christ, who is our life, and God is our life. It's not just, you know, our religion, something that we do on Sundays. He is our life. He's driving us in every direction we go. We're surrendering to Him, and our choice should always be to let God do the driving. Well, we come to chapter 31. We're not going to go through all of chapter 31 today. We won't finish that. But now, here's God driving Moses around. He's driving from the Nile River from when he was born to Pharaoh's palace, and all through the wilderness after crossing the Red Sea. And now he's coming to chapter 31. He parks the car. He says, Moses, this is where you get off. Look at it, verse 2. He said to them, Moses says, I'm 120 years old this day. I could no more go out and come in. The Lord said to me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But God, I've been looking forward to this. I thought this is where we were going. For 40 years, I've been dealing with these rebellious people in the wilderness, and I've been looking forward. But God says, no, Moses, you're not going. And so we often use the Lord's Prayer that he had in the garden where he said, thy will be done, not my will, but thy will be done. And whenever we say, like Moses did, thy will be done, it also means that my will be undone. So Moses was a meek and godly man, and he wanted to go over. But God says, you're getting off here, Moses. And not only are you getting off here, but Joshua's going to go over. I'm going to drive Joshua over this Jordan into the land flowing with milk and honey, but you're not going there. And sometimes you think about the challenges. Moses accepted that. And we have challenges. Maybe it's in your job. Maybe it's in your family. But we face these challenges, and we should say, God, let my will be undone, and let your will be done. And I mentioned to you several weeks ago about Moses God not allowing Moses to go over. And Moses may not have understood, but look where he went instead. He went to heaven instead of Canaan. That was a whole lot better. So what Moses thought at first was not going to be good. I wanted to go. God had something better for him. God always has something better for us, even though we may not see it on this side of Jordan. God has something better for us. And God had this plan for Moses. And that plan, to get off here. Moses, you're not going over Jordan. Now we come to verse 3. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. This is Moses talking to the people. He will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord had said. And so Moses is now is getting to the point where he's getting ready to turn the leadership over to Joshua. And he's not resenting the fact that Joshua is the one that's doing that, because he's a godly man. He's letting God do the driving. And though he's not fully understanding now, this is what God has told him, and this is what he is telling the people. And he says, God's going to go with you. In verse 6, he says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. Be not afraid. Whenever the presence of God is with us and he says, fear not, be not afraid, God's doing the driving. It's what Moses is telling Joshua and the people. You don't need to be afraid. He might be in the fast lane sometime, but you don't need to be afraid. You never need to be afraid when we turn the steering wheel over to God. Verse 6, he goes on to say, for he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee. Whenever God is driving, he's never going to have a wreck, is he? We can trust him. He knows where he's going. He knows how to get there. He knows when he wants to get there. He knows best. When we let the Lord direct our steps, then we will find a safe travel. Well, verse 6 goes on to say one more thing. He says, be not afraid. He says, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God's not going to put it in reverse and change directions on you. We sometimes will do that when we try to take the steering wheel, but God won't do that. He has something forward. I look forward to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus there. And God will never take us backward. If we end up going backward, it's because we've taken the wheel and turned it around. But that's not what God does. And so Joshua is beginning to learn the same thing that Moses learn as well. So Moses addresses the people in verses 1 through 6. Then in verse 7, he turns to Joshua. And Moses said to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 8, and the Lord He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He'll not fail thee. So he tells all the people, leave the driving to God. Then he turns around and says, Joshua, if they're going to do it, you've got to do it. You are now the leader, though you're not the driver. God is the driver, and Joshua is going to learn that. Well, we come to verse 9 as we get to the end of this section there, the congregation and the law. Verse 9, Moses wrote this law. He delivered it to the priest and the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And we won't have time to get into all that, but you remember how the Levites were ones that were responsible for the tabernacle. And everywhere they had gone for 40 years, every place they stopped, they would set it up again with the curtains and all of the altars and the lamps and the table of showbread and all the things of the tabernacle, the holy place and the most holy place. They were responsible for that everywhere they go. Now, verse 10, and Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles. So first he says there's going to be this appointed place, and that's involved in that Hebrew word solemnity here. The release, we saw this a few chapters ago there, where after in chapter 15, after 7 years, all the debts that they had would be forgiven or released there. And this has to do with what verse 9 calls the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles. The word tabernacle is a word that means a booth. And so as they were traveling throughout the wilderness, they were living in what we might say motels. Now we're on this journey and God's driving. We're going down the highway and they're not home yet. And these motels, some are nice, some are not so nice. From Leviticus 27, it says this, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths. That's the word tabernacle. They dwelt in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And so God says, all along the way, I had this little Motel 6, and I left the light on for them. He led them by through the light. And God said, I led them. I carried them all the way. But on this trip, your stay was in booths. That was the place there. But I have something better for you. He says there's an appointed practice too in verse 11. And when all Israel has come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. God always had a place where his people would meet. And whenever they would meet there, it says you will read the law before all Israel. I love the reading of the scriptures we do in our responsive reading on Sunday mornings there. Part of what they did as well. Verse 12 says, gather the people together, men and women, children and strangers that's within the gate, that they may hear, that they may learn, that they may fear the Lord your God and observe to do all. And so God says, read it so they can hear it and learn it and so they can do it. And so God says, this is going to be the practice of taking the roadmap or the GPS that I've given to your people and follow this. And then we finish with verse 13 this morning and we see the appointed perpetuation. God says, if this is going to continue, you've got to teach your children. It says, and that their children, which have not known anything, doesn't mean they didn't know anything at all, that they were dumb or ignorant. It means whenever they were coming across the Red Sea and these children were in the wilderness, they don't know anything about these things that he said at the beginning to call these things to mind. You remember them, and now I want you to share them with your children there because they don't know how God drove you throughout all of these years and how he has been in control. You think about our nation. As a way of illustration, I think for a lot of places they have stopped teaching children about the solemnity, as we see that word, of our heritage, the true history of the founding of America, that we give thanks for all of that at Thanksgiving there. And you don't see a lot of the accurate teaching of history anymore. And so the children from that didn't get that, as they come up and get older in their lives, they're not familiar with how God directed our forefathers across the waters and how God led them and how this was a nation, one nation under God. It's not being taught, is it? And we're losing that, aren't we? Well, the same thing applies spiritually. If we don't teach in our churches today our Christian heritage of how God has delivered us through Christ, and we continue to teach those things to our children, it's not going to be perpetuated. It's not going to continue. So we have this responsibility, as the Israelites did, so that their children, it says, may learn to fear the Lord your God. As long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. As long as you're driving through this land, in this world, we need to teach our children. They need to know how the Lord directs our paths. So in conclusion, as we make some applications there, we ask ourselves, is God in the driver's seat of my life? Is He in control? Do I have the wheel? It's not where I want to go, where you want to go. It's not when or where. I want to stop now and take a break. Sometimes God wants us to go. Sometimes He wants us to stop. Are we trusting Him? It's not how fast or how slow He moves. Sometimes we pray and say, you know, Lord, help me to be patient and give me patience and give it to me now. You know, I'm tired of waiting. And God says, let me do the driving there. And where's God driving you now? Maybe you are on a detour. Maybe you've taken the wheel. Maybe you haven't followed the God's leading in your life, and it's taking you down some bumpy roads. Whenever we go back and call to mind all the things He's done for us and repent and return the steering wheel back into God's hand and give it over to Him, then there will be blessing and life, and not distress and death and trouble and wrecks and reverse and all of those things. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Lord, we know that You do all things for our good. Every place You take us is for our good. And Lord, even when we take ourselves to the wrong places, we thank You for that wonderful restoration process that You have so that You restore the fellowship with Yourself. So help us this morning during this hymn of invitation. If there are areas in our lives where we need to surrender and turn back over to You, that You would show them to us and that we would be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.